is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nitzer from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Jay Hood off this week, but again, always get his pro wrestling thoughts. Jonathan Hood, as he is part of the Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 team. You can catch him Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern on Sirius XM. But we are on the road to WrestleMania, Brian. We are diving headfirst. It appears the main event of the entire thing, Sunday night, shutting it down, Punk versus Roman. They have had an exchange of words for about a month now, where they just go back and forth on the main event of Raw. But we did get some physicality last week. Punk took a swing. Now this week, he gets beaten down by Roman at the behest of the Usos as well, who kind of had their tempers flare. So who's the heel? Who's going to work heel? Who should be the heel in Punk versus Roman at Mania?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, it seems like the decision they're making is that neither are a heel right now. And they're going to go that tweener route, and they're going down that gray line. But then I feel like that doesn't work. Like, those near falls at Mania, it was like, wait, do we want him to win? Do we want him to win? Like, how are we doing this? Punk should be the heel. Everything Punk is doing right now is heel work. Like, he's being an ass. He's being a heel. And yet he's still sort of getting cheered. Whereas Roman is more of, like, it's Bloodline-esque. Like, I think some of the bossing around of the Usos we saw on Monday is sort of going back to Bloodline level. But Punk is the heel. Punk is the better heel. And I don't get why they're not fully embracing that right now.
The answer is Jey Uso is the heel.
Oh, okay.
that's the direction they seem to be going, because it's weird. And I know we've had our criticisms of Hunter here in the past.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Like, I mean, Roman's probably better as that tweener, because obviously when the Bloodline started, he got boos because, well, he aligned himself with Paul Heyman, and that automatically gets you boos. But as the Bloodline continued, even though they had heel work and they would play the numbers game, like, he was the cool heel, you know, kind of the way that DX was heels and NWO was heels. And eventually the crowd just comes around and goes, no, these guys are just fun. We love them. So they wanted to cheer, you know, as the Bloodline storyline progressed. And now Roman's at a place, you know, post storyline where he's the OTC, you know, acknowledge me, and the crowd just gets behind him. But the crowd also gets behind Punk. Like, I don't know how you stop that from happening. Right. Because like you said, Punk has been heelish. Like, he's supposed to be friends with the Usos. He refused to apologize for talking bad about their family. And yet Punk is going out there and getting heel, getting boos. I mean, you could argue with the way that Monday Night Raw ended, again, you kind of have, you know, the Bloodline, if they're getting back together, who knows, but you have the Bloodline kind of acting heelish. I mean, Jay's the biggest heel of them all right now.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who encouraged Roman to go stand up for the family and beat up CM Punk. And so they're playing the numbers game a little bit, kind of 3-on-1, because Punk doesn't have backup. So you could make the argument of, oh, I could see how they're going to kind of be the heels too, but Roman's still going to get cheers. You know, again, I the first person I thought of when Punk, again, refusing to apologize, and Jey Uso's theme is playing, and he looks at the camera and goes, what is he going to do, yeet me to death? The first person I thought was you. That was really a line kind of popping for you. But again, it's a really hard spot to be in creatively, because the WWE fan base just isn't quite ready to boo Punk yet. Maybe they never will be. I don't know. And it doesn't seem like they're going to be booing Roman. So I don't know what you do here. Because again, they're making Punk have some heel tendencies, but they're still chanting his name when he goes out there. They're still singing along to Cult of Personality. When he looks at his watch, they're going to yell, it's clobbering time, when he's coming down the ramp in about 3 weeks.
And that's the confusing part, is thinking ahead to that 3 weeks. Like, we talked about it with Orton and Cody, where Orton's supposed to be the heel. He's doing heel things. He's going to get cheered. Cody winning at Mania is probably going to get booed. And I'm curious to see what the reaction is on Sunday night, the final night. Sunday night, it's the main event of Mania, to no matter which one of them wins. Because I feel like when you do the tweener, you're not giving people enough incentive to go all in on either of them. And I feel like that takes away from the finish on Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this is the hottest story they have. It's their two biggest stars, if you ask me. Like, it should close out. But I guess that almost puts you in a spot where no matter who wins, you're still going to get like the fireworks going off. You're still going to get a good crowd reaction of people being behind whoever wins Punk versus Roman.
But like, if you're going 50-50, Roman wins, you still have 50% of the crowd upset that Punk lost and vice versa. Unless everyone's like, all right, it was a great match. Let's cheer for that.
Yeah, which I guess is what they're hoping for at this point. they're able to tell a good enough story where they get everybody invested that they're going to be satisfied. Because I still don't know. Like, I could convince myself them going either way here.
Sure, I agree.
Like, especially if they lean into Punk. I think if they continue to lean into Punk as a heel, I'm assuming Punk wins just because I don't know what Roman's schedule is. I don't think that they want to have the big moment of Roman winning at Mania and then the next night is Monday Night Raw and he's not there. Like, right. I don't think you want that. Now, the fact that he would be winning a championship on Raw and not SmackDown would increase to me the possibility of him stepping around, at least for the Raw after Mania. But typically, the way that we've kind of gotten used to Roman being a part-timer, he disappears for a while after Mania. Like, that's when he kind of goes away. And I don't know if you want, again, Punk has turned this into the workhorse championship between the two world titles. Like, he has defended it. He's put it on the line. And yes, he's not working now. But I mean, I was going back to see, okay, how many times did Drew McIntyre defend the Undisputed Championship? How many times did, Cody Rhodes? The answer is not many.
Right.
Right. Like, Punk is certainly putting that thing out there more and more. He's wrestling more and more than whoever's been the champ over on SmackDown. But especially if they go heel Punk, again, I don't want to draw too many parallels to his, 434 days as champ, but they split that too, right? Like, he was a face for a while. Then he lays out The Rock, aligns with Paul Heyman. And in the back half of that is basically a heel. Maybe you could start laying the foundation there because again, they've got a bit of a heel problem outside of Gunther right now.
Like, Gunther and Drew.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I feel like, so we have three more Mondays before we get to Mania. Looking at schedule, Roman's there this week at the Garden. He's off next week, and then he's there the week of Mania. I feel like we still have an Usos versus Punk and partner main event coming to Raw at one point, but, like, I'm curious to see how they keep pushing it and keep telling the story. I'm not a fan of the unrealism that they're doing where, Jay calling him Joe. Like, why are we doing this? Like, why do we keep doing the real name where it's like, oh, yeah, look, we're blending it. Like, no, like, just go into the storyline and keep telling that story right now.
Although I did enjoy Punk saying, I would call you Joe, but there's a difference. There's a different guy who goes by that name that I respect too much. I'm like, oh, we're calling out Samoa Joe right now.
So, like, that, like, a little dig there, but, like, there was no point of Jey Uso calling Roman by his first name.
There's no point of Jey doing it. No.
Right.
No. So, there's no point in that.
It's weird. And, like, the Usos, yes, I agree with you that it feels like Jey's turning heel, but from the weird storyline standpoint, like, it still is the bloodline where they're getting bullied and they're listening to Roman and Roman's telling them what to do. So, it's almost odd why they're going to end up as the heels and then Roman's still a babyface.
Yeah, because again, like earlier in the night, when Jay kind of, I don't want to say he like flipped out, but he didn't like when, LA Knight had said, oh, you're kind of sounding like Roman right now.
Right.
But again, which I did notice, again, it's a subtle thing that he was the one that gave the order. He's the one who gave the order to Roman to go get CM Punk. So there could be some bloodline infighting there because Jimmy just wants to play peacemaker.
Right.
Like, he told Punk to watch his mouth, but at the same time, he's trying to play peacemaker in there. So there's some interesting things they could do there internally, because I just don't know how many more promo battles we can have with Rock and Roman. Right. I mean, basically everything has been said at this point between the two. You're just in, and I like that the tension is building and they finally got physical this week. But as you said, we still have two more Roman appearances that we have to get through. And I don't know how we do that unless, again, this next week's more about inter-turmoil in the bloodline of Jimmy trying to calm everybody down, Jay wanting, a pound of flesh from Punk, and how they kind of sort that out between the three of them.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think how you keep moving it forward. Like, the LA Knight stuff in the Usos, like, maybe LA Knight gets pissed. Like, Punk and LA Knight versus the Usos as a Raw main event. It feels very Attitude Era to have a main event like that leading into Mania, but at least there's something there. And with it being a tag match, Punk doesn't have to go full balls to the wall.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense in terms of having Punk. Because I agree with you, Punk and a partner versus the Usos seems like it has to happen at this point. But it's not like Punk's aligned with anyone,
right?
And LA isn't either. You know, LA's more aligned with the Usos at this point than anything, because he did come out for the save against the Vision to kick off the show on Monday. Like, and again,
they still unless have the they complete stuff. So, like, if Jay swings on LA Knight and then he's pissed off, so he's like, "Hey, I'll be your partner." Like, you've got a story there, and Roman's just ringside for that, or you do that the week Roman's not there. Could we have one of those? Like, that's at least a option for the final three Raws.
I mean, I can't imagine that, like, they go full Punk heel and he aligns with Heyman and he tags with Brock, and then Brock is wrestling on television. Like, I can't imagine. And then again, it kind of ties some other things in. Maybe Oba comes out, he interferes, and you know, you kind of get that, you know, schmazzy attitude era finish where everything's, but again, I enjoy it. And maybe it is because I'm a kid who's a product of the attitude era, especially leading up to WrestleMania. And we've talked about this with AEW, where they've done this a few times as well, where I like it when everything's kind of interconnected on the roster. Cause at times things get too segmented where it's like, oh no, this is happening over here. And it's not like they're operating in the same universe. Right. But if you kind of get something messy like that and you get multiple stories kind of involved in the main event, I think that's something you could do. But again, I don't think they go. Punk would have to realign with Heyman, which seems improbable right now. Although Punk, if he thinks it gets at Roman to align himself with Heyman, maybe he would do it. But again, that's just me throwing something against the wall of, okay, who the hell could be CM Punk's partner if they do a tag match of him versus the Usos?
Yeah, LA seems the only one that sort of makes sense there. And the Usos, I feel like Mania, I guess it's them and the Vision, and then they're still in Roman's corner Sunday night. Like, I feel like that makes the most sense for them at this point.
Yeah, and but here's the – so I guess if it's them versus the Vision, that means Braun Breaker's got to be coming back?
Or if it's just Logan Paul in theory again.
Well, no, because Seth Rollins needs something to do against the Vision.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, if Braun comes back, then Rollins can face him.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if it's Vision tag team match, and then you've got Braun versus, but if Braun's not ready, and the rumors were that he was, you know, trying to do some training, and he's again working his way back at the Performance Center this week. Like, if he's not ready, then you need to have either Austin Theory or Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins.
Oy. Like, they're still in a weird spot. We've talked about this a couple of weeks. Like, filling it out. They're like, who's LA Knight's dance partner at this point?
Well, who's LA Knight's dance partner? Where the bleep is Gunther?
Just sitting at home, hanging out.
You built this guy into this badass heel and nothing going on for this guy who just went on a rampage of retiring some of your biggest stars, all of whom are going to be, one of whom is actually being inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. And we got nothing for him at Mania. He's the biggest, baddest heel you have on the roster. And you got nothing?
Yeah, I'll give it to them. They got a few more weeks and it's slowly coming together, but a little worried about that Saturday and Sunday night.
Is it? We've got 3 weeks left. We've got six matches announced. That's not even half the card, Brian. Like, they've done, what is it, seven? Last year was seven each night?
I mean, based on WWE math, we only need four more. You do five and five each night.
What they're charging?
Well, they don't care.
But that's, you know, that's a great point. It's very obvious that they do not care of what that could be. But again, they've got, I'm curious to see how this does play out, but this is one of the intriguing things that they are doing, right? Yep. Like, okay, who's the bad guy here? Who are we supposed to be rooting against? And chances are nobody's going to root against whoever you're trying to. And again, that's a tough tightrope to walk. I will criticize Hunter for not having anything for Gunther, but I can also feel bad for him in the situation of, like, this is a fine tightrope to walk to try to get one of these guys who are two of your most over that people want to cheer, one of them to try to be a bad guy in the situation.
A few more weeks away.
We've got plenty of other things to dive into here on GKW. We call it the three count, top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. What's number one this week, Brian?
This week marks the 25th anniversary of WWE purchasing WCW, officially ending the Monday Night Wars. We've seen AEW surpass WCW in terms of nitros, but over the last 30 years, has AEW passed WCW for the number two promotion of that time?
I'm going to say no, because the AEW, and again, it's always tough to compare things to the Attitude Era, because and especially like when you start talking about television ratings and everything, like the only thing that's more popular than it was 30 years ago on television, because of all the options we have, is football.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Right. Like literally that's it. Like popular TV, like all these other things. There's so many other options. So like AEW is never going to catch WCW at its height, right? At its height of popularity. It's just impossible, because WWE can't even catch what they were 30 years ago. It's just impossible to do. So because of that, I am saying no, but they eventually will. Like eventually AEW is going to be around long enough where the longevity of the promotion is going to be the most impressive thing. Yes, its heights aren't going to reach what WCW was, but the fact that they've already surpassed them in terms of dynamites to nitros, like their pay-per-views are can't miss. Like eventually they, to me, are going to get there. They're just not there yet, because again, they're it's like when you're talking about somebody like Terrell Davis versus Frank Gore. Yeah, they're both in the Hall. Eventually, Frank Gore is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But Terrell Davis, he certainly was brighter. He won an MVP, but his time was cut short. But Gore, the impressive part about him is to play that position and be in the NFL for as long as he was and be as productive as long as he was. And that, to me, is what AEW is going to be. It's going to be more of a long game of, hey, we were around for this long and relevant for this long, and that's how we passed WCW.
Yeah, that's the weird part, because I agree with you. I want to say no. And by saying no, it feels like that's a slight towards AEW. But, like, I don't think it's their fault. Like, to me, the peak, like the moment, WCW, it's the NWO stuff. It's the Hogan heel turn. AEW doesn't have that. I guess the closest thing would be the Punk return. But even that sort of watered down, because now we see him in WWE and he's main eventing Manias and things like that, to where that ends up being a footnote in the career of CM Punk. But from a pro wrestling standpoint, yes, it's amazing. It's giving us stars the same way WCW did. Like the Eddie Guerreros, the Rey Mysterios got put in front of us on American television after ECW by WCW. We were able to see them on Mondays. AEW is letting us watch Will Ospreay every week. Is letting us watch Kenny Omega every week. But it still doesn't feel like it has those breakthrough moments, which I don't think is their fault. It's more of just what the wrestling landscape is today in 2026.
Well, and the other thing is, like, again, we all know it's 82 weeks. And it's the name of Bischoff's podcast. And, you know, they were on top for 82 weeks. I don't know, and I highly doubt AEW at any point is going to surpass WWE in any sort of ratings, revenue, things like that, because WWE has just been so established for so long.
Right.
Right? Like, and again, to make the cross-sport reference, like when the USFL came around in the 80s, like it was a real threat to the NFL. Yeah, the NFL had been around for a while, but football wasn't the most popular sport in America. And that could have actually threatened. They got some real good players like Reggie White, like Sean, you know, Steve Young. Like it was an actual threat to the NFL very briefly. And then they had the lawsuit and disappeared. But briefly, it was that threat because the NFL hadn't been established yet. But as we see now with The Rock and UFL and those things, like, yes, there's room to be a supplemental thing to the NFL, right, and you could still make money and be successful. But because WWE has now been established, WrestleMania 42 at this point, like in the 90s, like WWE, yes, was the establishment, but they hadn't been around long enough where they were the thing, right? They weren't running football stadiums and doing things like that. So it's just so hard for a company now, because WWE has been so around for so long, for anybody to come in. Yes, you can exist. You can make money. You can supplement the pro wrestling landscape, but I just don't think you're ever going to be able to surpass, even for a little bit, WWE, because they're just so entrenched as the professional wrestling establishment.
Yeah, it's a generational head start. It is the, we see with the UFC and MMA. You see MMA, you're like, oh, that's UFC. It's like, no, this is another company. Pro wrestling, the casual fans like, oh, that's WWE. It's like, no, pro wrestling is the sport. WWE is just what you know. You're not going to be able to catch that, and that's not AEW's fault.
No, and again, that's not a knock on AEW. Like, they're just not. And And I think they've kind of realized that a little bit. Now they've certainly gotten better at some things, and but they're going to be who they are, right? Like they're a little closer to indie than WWE is with their style and their wrestling, but they're catering to a specific wrestling fan. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But they're going to maintain audiences. And as we mentioned, again, I wasn't here last week to be able to talk about Revolution and how incredible that pay-per-view was. Like, so they've got their audience. They've got a niche. Maybe they can grow it over time, continuously, slowly tick it up. But they're just not going to catch WWE, which is fine because you can still exist as a company, put pressure on WWE to remain creative, to remain, keep paying people the way they have to pay them so they don't go to the number two thing. So again, like AEW is number two right now. It's still hilarious to me that TNA thinks that they can surpass AEW. Like that ain't happening. But they're going to be number two, and they're going to be number two here, I think, for a long time. Especially, I guess I was maybe a little bit more nervous with the way that if they were going to have to split off things with Netflix potentially buying Warner Brothers Discovery, but now it's going to be Paramount. And it feels like if everything's kind of staying together, they're going to go, oh, yeah, we have this thing, wrestling. Maybe we're not the biggest fans of it, but it's still making us money every Tuesday and Saturday. And I mean, who knows, whenever they kind of consolidate all the different apps that they're going to have now at Paramount with their app and HBO, who knows where the pay-per-views end up. But whoever gets them is going to be happy about it because people are lining up to buy them because they're that damn good.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see like when that day comes to where if they're ever able to pass WWE in something. I don't know what that something is because that did, you know, help WWE and WCW where they were able to battle each other. We don't really believe in ratings. Like, ticket stuff's going to be different. Like, we know TKO and the WWE are going to overcharge, but AEW is going to fill places. Like, what is that thing that you look at and say, oh, AEW has passed WWE?
I don't know if there's going to be a thing. I really don't. Because, again, now, if they do pass WWE, to me, that's going to be more about what WWE does than AEW. If WWE doesn't come to their senses and they continue to overcharge people for big events and go back. The only reason they thought they could make more money in Vegas than New Orleans. It's the only reason they decided to go back to Vegas this year. We'll see if they learn a lesson. Seems like they got to learn this lesson the hard way that you're probably not going to make as much money this year as you did last year. You're just not, because people went there last year and it's expensive. Vegas as a city is expensive. Like it's just kind of piling up. Like you've got to take care of your fans a little bit. And like you would have to go creatively bankrupt and still try to charge people through the nose for your events. And then maybe people will start to find, you know, a pro wrestling alternative and turn to AEW. Like that's what that would say to me. But I mean, but it's all personal preference. Like I think their pay-per-views are better. I think the AEW has surpassed WWE in pay-per-views. 100%. I still have my criticisms. Like, I don't think you need that many matches on the card. Okay. Like, there's a happy medium between what AEW does and WWE does. But like, I get more excited for the AEW pay-per-views than I do for – again, I mean, WrestleMania, obviously, I'm going to be super excited for. Right. Like, SummerSlam. Like, the big Royal Rumble. You know, we were out at Potawatomi this year. Like, the tentpole WWE ones, you still get excited for. But do you get excited for Clash at the Castle, for Backlash, Great Balls of Fire?
And that's the crazy part is that like AEW existing, it's fine. It's a memorable name. AEW existing is a positive for pro wrestling. Like we saw what wrestling looked like when there wasn't a number two. Like TNA, ROH, they existed. They weren't a number two. They just existed. And now that we have a number two, WWE has to push stuff out there. Yes, they still give us four match pay-per-views because they're going to take the money and go with it. But imagine how bad that would be if AEW wasn't out there pushing, if AEW wasn't out there taking talent and, you know, inviting wrestlers to them. So overall, it is a home run. And I think it's just AEW continued growth continues to make pro wrestling better as a landscape.
Yeah. And again, I think that just ends up helping everybody. Yep. But again, we'll have to wait and see with WWE. I'm really curious to see how the Saudi, you know, outside of all the geopolitical stuff that's going on right now, I'm really curious to see how the Saudi mania goes next year, assuming it happens, because I know they're already talking about potentially not going there with the conflict that's going on over there right now with their scheduled one this year. So I don't know what that would mean going forward. But I'm curious to see how that plays out, how much wrestling fans are going to buy into that. You know, if, you know, Tony Khan's already mentioned about maybe running something that night. And then for fans going there, the typical, because I know you're more excited about all the indie shows you're going to go see when you're out in Vegas than Mania itself. And there are a lot of other people like you, Brian. We give you a hard time for it, but there are a lot of people that love going to WrestleMania weekend and seeing all the other professional wrestling that can happen around Mania. So I'm curious to see how all of that works out in 2027.
Yeah, because it'll be a day Mania. Like you mentioned, we were together for the Rumble one, which is a day Rumble. There's a world next year where it is a day WrestleMania, so now all of a sudden you have those nights available. I assume it's a one night next year, so that'll change things as well, but it's going to look different in 2027.
All right, what do we got at number two this week on the three count?
In the world of AEW, last night on Dynamite, Kenny Omega beat Swerve Strickland to take his number one contendership. He will challenge MJF at Dynasty. So when it comes to Swerve, what's next?
All right, before I answer that question, why do we keep insisting on just putting pay-per-view quality matches between Swerve Strickland and Kenny Omega on free television?
And like, the opening match.
Why do we keep doing that?
Not just like, on television, but the first match you see at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Again, it seems like I'm complaining. I guess I am a little bit. But it's just more a question, because I enjoyed the hell out of the match last night. Spoiler alert, it's going to be on the match of the week list next, you know, coming up later in the show. But we just keep putting two of the best pro wrestlers alive today on television and watching them go head-to-head. I don't know what's next for Swerve. I don't know. So the funny thing is they've got another pay-per-view before Mania. Dynasty's before Mania. It's the Sunday before Mania. So Swerve honestly could go away. So what do we have? We've got two more Dynamites before that. Like Swerve could go away the next 2 weeks and then just come back after the pay-per-view and start something else up for him, and it won't be a big deal. Sure. And honestly, I could see him maybe finally having Swerve Kenny 3 on a pay-per-view.
Oh, that'd be a great spot for those two to go.
I don't know what they're going to do to make the match better on pay-per-view. They've set the bar incredibly high for themselves, but I could see something, because again, Swerve won the first one. We just saw Kenny win, and I'm assuming Kenny's going to lose to MJF. So Kenny coming off of that, I think reigniting this and having, you know, kind of building towards Swerve Kenny 3 at you know, their next pay-per-view after this one seems to be the most logical thing, and it can kind of, again, keep those two occupied and away from the world championship picture while who knows who steps up next.
Yeah, so in that, there's a look at the AEW schedule. May 24th will be Double or Nothing in New York, and then nothing announced until All In at Wembley end of August. So we'll have another two-month build to Wembley, where we have talked a lot. Wembley needs to end with Ospreay as the champ. In that world, is Kenny and Swerve a title match at Double or Nothing? And then Wembley is Kenny or Swerve versus Ospreay.
Ooh. Man, I didn't even think about that. And which is completely possible, because who knows? I mean, MJF might have, again, as he continues to explore his Hollywood career, like maybe he's got something he's got to go do, so he's got to go away for a little bit. So it makes sense to take the championship off of him. I guess I was just hunkering in for a longer MJF run.
Sure. And that's taking it. Us MJF all the way is to the better heel. MJF tells better stories in that spot. Like, MJF is one of your biggest draws. This isn't a knock on MJF. It's just the path we're on right now. It might make more sense to go that way.
So you kind of play hot potato with the championship?
I guess. Because the other way,
I would, because I mean, I guess you could do. I mean, look, if you decided to do Kenny, and Kenny could be a good guy, and it'd just be kind of a passing of a torch, passing of the torch from Kenny to Ospreay. Yeah. Like, I guess you could do that, or you could do Swerve Strickland as the most dangerous man in AEW versus, you know, as the champion. I mean, there's a number of different, which is fun about AEW right now, because you have all these guys who legitimately are at the top, which also makes me confused of Ospreay can't beat Mox at this upcoming pay-per-view, because, and again, unless you're going to do some sort of consolidation, which they desperately need to do to get rid of some of the championships that they have.
Is it definitely, but if you're not title, going, though?
I just assumed it was.
Yeah, no, that's a safe assumption, but I don't know if it definitely is.
Okay, if it's not for the title, then yeah, then Ospreay can win. But right. If it's for the championship, like again, like I don't care if Ospreay's the continental champion. I don't see the direction unless you're consolidating championships of him then being world champ.
Yeah, that whole thing's confusing. Like heel face John Moxley is also confusing as a part of that. So it just adds to the confusion of that story.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so it's again like. When they throw it in the ring on the 12th, like it's gonna be sick, like it's gonna be fun. I don't know if the story's gonna make a ton of sense, but yeah, the great thing again, I think Swerve just goes away for a couple of weeks here, comes back after the pay per view, and there are so many guys at the top that they can just kind of that they can throw something together. Like Samoa Joe is gonna be coming back sometime soon, as he's wrapping up, you know, kind of some of the stuff and injury wise and some of the stuff that he's been dealing with, but I think he's coming back soon. There are enough guys at the top that you could make something fun.
So the other one I could throw out there, we saw Darby in the main event last night. Is there a world where Swerve still wants the title, still wants number one contendership? It's him and Darby, and then at Double or Nothing, we get MJF Darby for the title that way. It involves Swerve losing again. Which I don't think hurts him too much, but
no, like again, Swerve is one of those guys where, and we made fun of former head of SmackDown, you know, Road Dogg, talk about how wins and losses don't matter, how many years ago that was, and obviously it does when you're trying to build up and tell a story. Yeah. Obviously, those wins and losses matter, but some guys can take losses better than others, and then you can heat them up quick. You know, like, again, going back to Mox. Mox loses the world championship, but, I mean, he's established himself as a pretty dangerous guy. So he goes through, wins the Continental Classic, and now he's your Continental champ. Like, it's with Swerve, again, Swerve has had so many – he just has the trust of the fans, and you know he's a star. Where, again, I'm not saying you go out there and have him lose every match, you know, the way that you did with Dolph Ziggler in WWE. But – You can have him lose a couple of big matches here and there and have that be a part of the character. Like, yeah, this dude's dangerous. This guy's really good. But again, it becomes the question, can he win the big one? Which is a well that AEW likes to go back on, which again, if wins and losses matter, is an easy story to kind of go back and keep on telling.
So yeah, I mean, they've got options. I feel like and Hangman's probably taking time off, but I feel like Hangman and Swerve have entered that territory where doesn't matter the time, doesn't matter the place. Yeah, I'm like, all right, roll it out there. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see which way they go with it.
Yeah, fight forever there. And I got to imagine they're going to reheat that. Again, that's going to make a ton of sense, especially if Swerve kind of goes after him of never going to be able to challenge for the title again.
Right.
Plenty of things to continue that rivalry. Yeah, the top of the card in AEW, I think, is in a really good spot. I think they just have to kind of get clean up some of these mid championships, because I'm pretty sure Okada's still the international championship, even though I don't know the last time he actually defended that. Mox is the Continental. You have the AEW national champ, who is now Jungle Jack Perry. The TNT champ. Yeah, with Fletch. Like, there's just too many. All right, we got to clean this up.
And I think the main event being so strong speaks to MJF. Like, MJF in that spot, like, this is arguably one of the best title reigns they've booked. They're great at booking the lead up to someone becoming champion, but MJF as champ right now is some of the best.
Well, because again, they're just leaning into MJF's strengths. You know, last time he was champion, and we've made this reference plenty of times here on GKW, but the AEW championship took the backseat to the ROH tag titles. Right. Like that is a thing that happened during his reign because well, some of that stuff with Adam Cole was fun, right? Like it was fun and goofy. Like, okay, we're doing it at the cost of the AEW championship. I don't know if this is the time or place for some of this stuff, but they're just leaning into MJF being the best heel and one of the best characters that he can be. And that just makes it, again, it's easy to line up. When you have the pro wrestlers that you do on your roster, it's easy to line those guys up for MJF.
Yeah.
It's just so easy.
That's hot.
All right, what do we got at number 3 this week?
We've talked about the WrestleMania card coming together. Another match announced this week. The women's IC title will be on the line. AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch once again. How many women's matches will we see on the WrestleMania card?
I only think we're getting one more.
Got.
I don't think we're getting one. So we're at three right now. So we've got, you know, Vaquer versus Liv Morgan.
Yep.
We've got
Jade versus Rhea.
Jade versus Rhea, and now the one that you just mentioned for the IC Championship. I think we're getting a multi-team tag match, and I think that's it.
I agree. Like, it'd be nice. I know, like, I've seen some rumors maybe you get Julia and Tiffany for the U.S. title. The women's tag is where I feel like they just throw everyone out there.
That screams SmackDown before. Doesn't it? Doesn't that just scream the Friday night of SmackDown before Mania? Like, you throw the Andre, you know, you try to build it up and make it seem bigger than it actually is, but you have the Andre Battle Royal, you have that championship match, maybe you throw R-Truth and Damian Priest defending their tag titles on that, and there you go. That's the SmackDown before Mania.
And the women's tag feels like I'm trying to list it out, like five teams? We got Nia and Lash, Bayley and Lyra, Asuka and Kairi, Io and someone. The Bellas, I feel like, have to be in there. Oh, and also Charlotte and Alexa.
The Bellas are definitely in that. Yeah.
That's 16.
I mean, I think, yeah. I don't know. I feel like Bayley, the only ones I feel strongly about who have to be in it are Bayley and Lyra. And that's okay. Just mostly because Bayley needs to be on WrestleMania's card this year.
Yes.
Feel very strongly about that. Hopefully they right the wrong of kicking her off last year in favor of Becky Lynch. But I think you need to have those. Those two, you have – obviously Charlotte's going to be involved. Like, you can't have a healthy Charlotte Flair and not have her on the WrestleMania card. So there's three teams, and I guess then the Bellas.
So you're going to leave off Asuka, you're going to leave off Io. Raquel is getting left off at this point and all the momentum she has.
I don't see a way for Raquel to get on the WrestleMania card.
Right.
I mean, other than she'll come out and be in Liv's corner.
Unless it's like her and Roxanne are yet another team in this match. If Roxanne's healthy enough.
Maybe we do tag team turmoil. Who knows?
Yes.
Oh man, I don't know too, because it feels like the Kabuki Warriors and EO aren't going to. It feels like we're trending towards a match between EO and Asuka.
Great.
And which I think would be great. I don't know if that makes Mania. I hope it would make Mania. Yeah. Like, that could be a really good match to open up one of the nights.
Oh, 100%.
Like, maybe you're not as familiar with WWE, but here's a great match. Here's a good story where they're fighting over their friend. Hopefully they'll put her on a pole. They're fighting over, you know, the soul of their friend. And you open up on ESPN2 or ESPN, because, again, the first hour of Mania is on, you know, ESPN this year. It feels – and those two, like Asuka and Io, would tear down the house. And it would just, to me, set the tone on either Saturday or Sunday. So maybe I could make a case for those two to be on the card, and then we would get the fifth women's match. But I also don't think that's going to actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thought, and I'm on board with it. I'm just not hopeful that's what we end up seeing. So we've talked about it. Like, people are going to get left out, and, like, that sucks, especially with this lighter card, which I don't know why it needs to be a lighter card, because you still assume it's going to be 4, if not 5 hours. But they're in a weird spot right now with terms of the women on the roster.
Well, if you go 7 each night, which is what they did last year, you know, I think there's a way to, you know, if 5 of them are women's matches, I don't have a problem with that. Sure. Like, again, the women's division in WWE, the women's division of both right now, man. Like, women's wrestling as a whole is just deep. It is really good on AEW, on WWE. Like, it's really, really good right now. So why not, again, make more room to try to showcase that?
I completely agree. I wonder if there's a way you almost split up the tag match, where maybe it's a three-way on night one, and the winners have to defend it again on night two in another three-way. And then you get multiple teams in, like, and then you could sort of check the boxes. Like, maybe that's a way to do it.
I mean, I hope so. Like, I hope they find another way. Because, again, do we think they're going to get to 14 matches? I guess that's the first – when you're answering this question, you have to ask yourself, are they going to get to 14? We're at 6 right now, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So we have the two men's title matches, the two women's title matches. We have the women's IC, and we've got Oba and
Brock.
And Brock.
And that's it.
So assuming we're adding Seth Rollins versus member of the Vision.
Yep.
Vision versus Usos. That gets us to 8.
Jelly roll
tag match? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Kit Wilson being on Mania would seem strange, but okay. It seems the direction we're heading.
Like it's Kit and Miz versus Jelly Roll and Danhausen. Like, so EO might not make it to the card, but we get the tag team of Jelly Roll and Danhausen. WWE.
Which part of me does love, by the way. Like there's a certain charm to those two.
That's
okay,
9.
So,
mm-hmm. So you throw women's tag in to get to 10.
Women's tag would be 10.
Then you're grasping at straws. Like maybe you add two more, but like nothing's jump. US title feels like SmackDown. Penta and the IC title feels like a Raw match.
Oh no, Penta! I think ultimately they'll do like the traditional ladder match for the IC title.
Dom and Finn.
Oh, Dom 11. And Finn. Yep. Okay, so that gets us to 11. I think the IC title will be on there is 12. Okay. That might cap it out. So you might do 6 tonight.
Yeah, that seems logical where we're at right now.
Yeah, and again, I think if you could easily add another women's match and then find something for LA Knight, and or just do 7 one night and 6 the other. Like, it doesn't have to be even.
Yeah, so this card doesn't have LA Knight, doesn't have Gunther. Golly.
Nope.
There, a lot of people are getting left home, which is sad.
I mean, at this point, Gunther's winning the Battle Royal on SmackDown. Like, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Let's not.
The huge list of winners who have gone on to do big and great things of the Andre the Giant's Memorial Battle Royal.
Ugh, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah, I think... I'm hopeful for 5, but the betting favorite seems to be 4. Like, if I had to bet, and the number was 4.5, I'd probably bet the under.
Yeah, I'm just saying about... I want to believe it's more, but I've not seen it right now.
Yeah. It's just not there. It's just not in the cards for the women right now, which is a bummer. All right, what do we got at News and Notes this week?
All right, speaking of women's wrestling, there's a hole in AEW. Last week, Toni Storm was a last-minute scratch from Dynamite. Now we are going to be without her for an extended period of time. Fightful has confirmed that Toni Storm will be out for the rest of 2026. Dave Meltzer said it is not injury-related. They did film a quick segment backstage where she was attacked, and it's sort of a whodunit now.
I don't want to say what I think it is because, like, but it seems kind of obvious what it is, right?
Everyone is very much thinking that. If you do the math, there's about 8 or 9 months left in the calendar year. There's that. Everyone is very adamant that it is not injury related. You find things out. So, yes, it's an assumption, but it seems safe-ish at this point.
Yeah. So again, I don't want to put anything out there or assume anything until, because again, if that is like, that's on her and Juice to announce.
Yes.
Right. Like, that's on them. But if I'm connecting dots the way I think I am, it seems kind of obvious what this actually is, which is great. It's great news. I'm bummer for AEW, but great for them.
But also from a wrestling standpoint, Toni Storm has been one of those people that transcends titles. Like, she has been telling stories. She's on your television. There's a hole there now. I want to see how they fill it moving forward.
Yes.
Well, the last time we saw her in the ring, it was at Revolution.
They have somebody who can fill it. They just refuse to use her for whatever reason. Like, nobody has any stories on Britt Baker. I don't understand what's going on. Like, she's been gone for over a year. How do we not have, like, she has refused to say anything. AEW hasn't said anything. Like, nobody, again, guys like Sean Rossap, like you mentioned Meltzer, like Brian Alvarez, like all these guys who are really good at their respective jobs have nothing on Britt. Nothing. Yeah,
it is baffling. She tweeted during Revolution, like, oh, not my choice why I'm home. But yeah, I mean, seeing how they fill it in, it's just very odd. And that's why, like, new to the next note, we saw Ronda Rousey at AEW. There was some fantasy booking there. Turns out it was a one-off. Ronda said it was basically a big FU to TKO. Her and Marina Shafir was talking about a way she could promote her fight. Like, hey, we're in LA. I'm doing a pay-per-view match. Here we go. End of story.
Hilarious.
So they got the buzz and they move on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. Okay.
So there's that. And finally, news and notes, the latest member of the WWE Hall of Fame has been unveiled. Psycho Sid will be taking his rightful place with the class this year. Sid passed away in 2024 at the age of 63, a two-time WWE World Champion, a two-time WCW World Champion, and a two-time WrestleMania main eventer.
And this is where I'm just a little sad. Like you said, he's taking his rightful place. We yes. can do this before he passed.
Exactly. And I don't know what the backstage drama is. Obviously, with something. I mean, Demolition, the same boat that's going in this class. Like, there was beef there. Like, it sucks when these things happen where it's like, hey, all right, now you've passed away, we'll put you in. Like, they deserve their spot. It's a fake Hall of Fame that doesn't actually exist anywhere. They should have given it to him years ago.
Yeah, like, just suck it up. I mean, the Hall of Fame isn't about WWE. It's about the fans. Because like you said, it doesn't exist anywhere else. It's about having these acts who helped build the business, who helped get the business to where it is now, be celebrated maybe one last time, maybe more, but one last big time in front of this audience, at least, you know, again. And they deserve that moment. Again, Sid deserved that moment in front of the fans. And again, I'm happy that they eventually did it, but I just wish they would have done it before he passed.
Yeah, and I forget what the actual stat is, but it's something with, like, the world champs from, like, the 90s. Sid was the only one not in, like, in terms of WWF world champions, and now here we are.
Well, I mean, and obviously Vince, but...
Yeah, I think it's maybe just the 90s. Like, I forget what the cutoff was.
Well, Vince, I mean, Vince won it in the 90s.
Oh, I guess it was late 90s. You're right there. So I don't know what that stat is, so disregard.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but it could be like literally like actual wrestlers, you know, because right, I wouldn't consider Vince an actual wrestler. So maybe the thing you saw was like the actual wrestlers. Okay. He might have been the only one who didn't get in. And again, if you want a world championship, like, just put you in the hall. All right, let's just.
Yes.
All right, we move on. Time for it. Matches of the week.
Yes, we sort of talked about it. Of course, the opening bout of Dynamite. Kenny versus Swerve. You put him in the ring and ring the bell, and Kenny and Swerve do Kenny and Swerve things.
And I love how they like knew it was going to be really good and like limited commercial interruption. You got 1 90-second commercial break. And they just,
that was
These guys are going to cook. We're just going to let them cook. We'll do the best we can to limit the interruptions. But yeah, that's don't know why they keep doing it, but I'll keep watching. Watching.
I also have, when it was announced, I was worried for his health, and then watching it last night, it confirmed that Darby and Roosh. Like, I feel like Darby watches Roosh like, yeah, that's someone I would be in the ring with. And somehow he got out of it, we think, alive at this point.
The jump, the flip over the steel stairs to land with his butt and legs then on, like, the bike rack barricade, it was kind of stiff. That was a little, I don't know if we needed to do that on a Wednesday night, Darby, but... Nobody's going to convince you otherwise at this point.
We've talked about for WWE, how stiff he is. I feel like somehow the conversation to that match, Darby's like, hey, be a little stiffer. Like, no, Roosh doesn't need that. He doesn't need that encouragement. Here we are.
For the WWE side, Carmelo taking on Dragunov. It's like multiple times they've made this list now, but anytime that they decide to do it, it's... Again, they've now reached like fight forever status over that U.S. championship. Anytime you want to put that match on, you don't need a reason. You don't need excuse. Just let me watch it, and I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah, and then they were WWE finishes, but also from SmackDown. I enjoyed Motor City Machine Gun and Fraxium until the finish, and I enjoyed Sammy and Alistair until the finish. Also, speaking of guys being left off Mania, Sammy and Trick, I guess we can throw that in there. Maybe. That gets us to another number for Mania?
Maybe. I mean, I would hope so, because it's insane to me, because they had a number of big debuts or like big moments on the Rumble. Royce Keyes is nowhere to be found other than Stephanie McMahon's podcast. Clearly he ain't wrestling at Mania. Like, makes a big debut. Hasn't been heard from since.
Like, cool. How is that possible?
Cool. But they seem to like him, but they refuse to put him on television. It seemed like Oba was kind of getting left behind, but I mean, the moment he had, you know, with the
Brock,
with the powerbomb on Brock Lesnar, just, okay, now he shot to the top, and now it feels like Trick's kind of just treading water. And Trick versus Sammy makes sense. I hope it's on the card. I don't feel confident right now that it's going to be on the card.
It's going to be a loaded SmackDown.
Yeah, like SmackDown might be better than one of these nights of Mania.
That is rough.
So hopefully, hopefully they figure that out. There wasn't really anything on because we get to this point of, and it's just part of the cyclical nature of professional wrestling, but we're like close enough to WrestleMania where, and especially, I understand, especially being careful this year, because it seems like some injuries have blown up some things on the WWE side anyway. But it feels like they're being extra cautious right now in putting some of the people that they know are going to be on that Mania card. They don't want to put them in harm's way 3 weeks out.
Yeah, it's almost like the guys and girls we see going out there delivering banger of matches, you can almost pencil in not being part of Mania. Because they're like, all right, yes, we don't need to put them in bubble wrap. Just put them out there to fill our TV time.
Yes, and that's what it feels like. And we're getting a lot more promo heavy, you know, because again, you're trying to protect that, which I get. You got to protect WrestleMania. But again, it just leads to, you know, less really good matches because you're trying to protect that Mania card. And I completely get it. Yeah. If you missed any of the show, missed any of our past interviews, check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/EtGoodKarmaWrestling. Comment, subscribe, check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. Brian's going to have plenty of content out at WrestleMania as he's going to be out in Las Vegas once again this year, or again, any of our past interviews that we have done. We're getting closer and closer. But again, we've got another AEW pay-per-view before Mania. We've got WrestleMania. It's all around the corner. We'll talk about it next week right here on GKW.